This episode, window and door tinting. Well, folks, window tinting is not just for cars anymore. Johnny and I, we've done a lot of that over the years because we were old hot rod guys. But it now can become an effective accent for your home as well. Hey, also in this show, we want to address a question that was sent to us. It's a pretty important question on fencing. So stay tuned. We're going to do that at the end of the show. It's a very, very important tip. Welcome to the Handyman Pros Radio Show, home improvement and maintenance tips from the pros. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Handyman Pros Radio Show, where our goal is to help save you time, money, and aggravation on your home maintenance and repair. This edition is entitled Window and Door Tinting. And to help me explain, I'm here with the window tint master, Mr. Johnny. What's been going on, buddy?
Well, a bit of plumbing that I've been doing, but other than that, I'll leave that for another show. But we were talking about this window and door tinting. I was in Home Depot, one of the big box stores, and I was back by the paint, and I saw the window tinting, and I had a friend of mine that. They had a front door, and then you brought up this thing about window tinting. But he had a front door that was clear glass. When they moved in, that's what they wanted. And now, his wife is like, "Boy, I wish we had that frosted. We wanted to get new doors." I'm like, "Why?"
Johnny said, "And why? Why would that be?"
I mean, you know how expensive, big huge French doors are for the front of your house, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, even just a regular front door,
they've got the big French doors, so I'm like, with the side lights,
right?
So I'm like, why don't you just tint them? Because there's some really nice tint on the market these days.
Yeah, and it's more than tint. It's kind of we have a similar story.
It's all kinds of cool stuff, right?
Yeah, we got a free front door from somebody, and it was brand new. It's a long story. Brand new 330 door, right? 36-inch wide door with full glass in the front, or almost probably 3/4 full glass, right? Clear full glass.
Nice.
And we were actually right in the middle of a reno, and I was looking for a 30 door to put in this place. And the way that the room worked out, I was kind of like, oh, 3/4 glass, that's even better. It'll bring lots of light into the room. So install the door. And sure enough, the wife comes and looks at it and she goes, "Yeah, I don't like it." And I'm like, not the time right now. And she's like, "No, there's no, to your point, there's no privacy."
That's right.
And yeah, there's no privacy. And I said, I thought about it for a minute. And I'm like, "What if we frosted it?" And she's like, "Same question. Can you do that?" I'm like, "I'm a handyman. I can do almost anything." And so we went down to the store and they got a frosting for it, just a frosting. And in that subject of looking at the frosting, there's also all kinds of accents, and there's a ton you can do with it.
And I'll pause you there. I haven't even searched out all the different types. All I've seen is what those stores, the big box stores, carry. I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff out there.
Just look on Amazon. Oh my God.
Okay. Oh my God. So I haven't done that, but to your
patterns, there's all
know.
Kinds
Isn't
of stuff.
Isn't that cool? Like, so, all you folks out there that are doing renos, or you're running across a new front door that, somebody's got, I mean, who knows where these things, but if you can get it and it's, those things are so expensive and it's nice, but hey, it might be clear glass and you're like, Think about tinting it,
Yeah, still one of my favorites, Johnny. And we talked about this earlier, is garden tubs. For whatever reason, right? I mean, I went into a friend of mine's house and he was getting ready to sell the house. Go in and there's a garden tub in there, no problem. Garden tub. I mean, it's a little dated, blah blah blah. But here was the kicker: big picture window over the garden tub, right? Looking at the neighbor's bathroom window.
Yeah.
So you're in your garden tub, and the way this bathroom was set out, every time when they were at their sink, the garden tub was behind them. Like, I'm like, your neighbors can see you. They're like, yeah, we always had a curtain up there. I'm like, curtain. But I was like, there's a perfect application for privacy anyway of putting in a frost.
If you don't want some kind of frost. And you don't want to, if you didn't want to put in a, window shades or something like that. Or you just like to open it up, you know, just to get the light in and things like that, you know, frost it. You know, there's all kinds of cool stuff, on the market to do this. So there's all kinds
of applications,
for this, stuff. I will tell you that I had, I'm using the word tint for all this stuff here, and I don't mean to do that. I mean, there's frostings and patterns. When I'm thinking tint now, you know, it's darkening a window. But I had
well, there's that side of it too, right? I mean, you can darken the windows if you've got full sun and you want to reduce the input, right?
I was just about to say that's the story. I had a customer that had these two windows that were. It was a vaulted ceiling, two big windows all the way to the ceiling, halfway up to the ceiling. Okay. If that makes sense. Okay. But they were massive and they were just facing west. I mean, it was just the sun was coming in, it was unbelievable how hot that place was getting. They must've run the air conditioner. And I said, you know, hey, you can tint that. You know, she's like, well, what can I do with that? You know, replace those windows or just tint them dark, you know, and be done with it.
Just like you do in your car.
Exactly. Like break that sun up, you know, coming in here. But, so it's one of those things when we were talking the other day, I was like, you know, that's something that, you know, it passes me by a lot of times that, you know, I don't think about this, but, you know, there's ways to, change the looks, change the effect of the way your glass is operating, you know, all that kind of stuff with tint. And it's cheap, you know,
it's inexpensive.
Relatively inexpensive.
Relatively. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot less expensive than replacing a window.
Yeah. Or a front door.
And if it's not now with the exclusion of perhaps your really high windows, if it's just you can apply it on the inside of the window. So it's very, very easy. It's a very easy DIY job to do. You can actually do it yourself, and you can get most of these products either, you know, from the big box stores or off Amazon, whatever. And you don't need a whole lot of tools. And there's a couple of little tips that you can do to put this on. Johnny, you've done a lot of glass on the windows. on car windows. And so what are the tools you need, and what are give the big tip. There is one massive tip.
Well,
that works
It's like, anything, get a bunch of real sharp razor blades.
good sharp razor blades you need a squeegee, a plastic squeegee, kind of a, like it's more for just pushing out bubbles is all it's for. It's not, it's
yeah,
not
the
like
way
a squeegee,
this stuff
squeegee,
goes on is generally, the way I used to put it on was with a soapy water, you apply it that way and then squeeze out all the bubbles. And like we were talking about earlier, it's, you know, for flat glass, mostly in homes, you know, you don't have any curvature. So it's not like, you know, trying to take out all the wrinkles, wrapping a piece of paper around a baseball, you know, if that gives you any visual on that. But so it's relatively easy. It's relatively inexpensive. And boy, what a way to change things around a little bit.
Yeah, it's there, and it's simple, and you don't need to replace the windows is the big point. You can do some changes with them. So, all right, Johnny, do you have the question up in front of you?
I don't.
Hang on. I can get it. I have it. There it is. All right. This is from Erica. She recently purchased a home that was she bought a home. They cut some corners on things, blah, blah, blah. But she had a perimeter fence installed, and it was installed with non-galvanized nails. And so it wasn't sealed or painted, but non-galvanized nails also. And after 6 to 8 months of weathering, they left beautiful 5 to 18 inch long marks of stains down the fence line. Yeah. She says, you know, that looked like a creepy, sad clown.
It's a pain in the butt.
I mean, couple of issues here. So her question is there a way to stop the rust? And then, without compromising the integrity of the fence and so forth and so on. So,
You know, Eric, along those lines, you know, I think I told you I was, we rented a house on the beach and, they had screened in the porch and they used, just regular staples. I think I even took a picture, you know, instead of like stainless staples. So I think I actually took a picture, and Erica, this is the same thing. This place was such a disaster, and they tried to paint over, and house paint does not work on rust. It doesn't. It's just going to blister and keep going. And this thing, but you know, you've got a couple of nails in each one. This thing had like thousands of staples all over. It was a total disaster. Anyways, I'm glad I wasn't the guy who had to fix it. You know, but I would say this, and I understand that. I think you had a suggestion in there about Rust-Oleum. And I would agree with that. Instead of pulling all the nails, I don't know how many you've got, but there's two things that came to mind when I read that. One is, you know, I what Larry was mentioning is I don't know why they would, you know, put those kind of nails in there, but they did. And I would use Rust-Oleum. I'd try to clean off as much rust on the top of those nail heads as you can, and then just spray, just keep going with a can of spray Rust-Oleum, because Rust-Oleum usually have a rust killer in it and cover those up. Anything else, it ain't going to cut it, you know, other than pulling those nails and redoing it. The other thing that came, go ahead, Larry.
Well, and if you're thinking about, if you're going to have, if you just want to get the nail head, you could use a Q-tip with a little Rust-Oleum that's not spray paint, just regular Rust-Oleum in the can.
Exactly.
And just dip it, tap it on there, you know, to make it get not as close look like to a what, big...
Whatever the color of that fence is, you know, exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, that's what... Now, you might be able to get away with maybe a primer that you can put, you know, that'll kill that rust, and then also then... whatever kind of treatment was on that fence. I don't know. I'm not looking at the picture, but that's probably the only way, unless you want to go and pull every nail and replace it. The other thing is, you know, if it's pressure treated wood, you know, we've talked about it on our show before, is that that pressure treated wood's going to eat those nails up. You know, if they're not meant for pressure treated wood.
Well, a combination here. If they're non-galvanized nails, it's a combination of pressure treat and the rust is just going to eat them up anyway.
You can take that one on to do it the right way. Yeah, pull them all out, replace them. You know, in the meantime, you might be able to just hit them up with some Rust-Oleum, and they'll probably be good for a long time. Now, the good news is it's a fence. And not a deck. We have worked on decks where they have used the wrong fasteners. And now we're into a danger issue.
Correct. Well, there's a potential dangerous issue with a fence, just depending, but it's not as generally.
Really walking on it and things like that, you know. So I feel your pain there. I've got some issues, and when I was sanding some spots on my deck before I replaced the boards, I hit the nails and took the galvanization off the nails, and they started to rust. So I did the same thing as I went by and just hit them up with some Rust-Oleum, and then put a solid stain on. I got a solid stain anyway, so you know that went right over it, no problem. But so there's,
it's a bad situation.
It's one that, you know, you can mitigate for a while, you know, so there's two things that, you know, that, like I said, it came to mind: mitigate it or, you know, pull them all out. So
And my initial frustration was, folks, if you're going to do a job there, you know, there's a time and a place to use the right things. And the time and place is almost, it's always use the right things, because the additional cost, why did they use non-galvanized nails in this particular it's application? Cheaper. Probably because it was cheaper, or they just didn't have any.
Yeah.
And all that does is kick the can down the road, spend the, you're talking a couple of bucks tops. I don't know, maybe 15. If $15 makes or breaks you, you're in the wrong business. Yeah.
I guess here's the lesson as well. You know, even if they're galvanized and they are, you know, hit in with a hammer, you can chip the galv. I'm not a big fan of, you know, yeah, it's galvanized. I get it. But you can chip the galvanization off the nail, and you're in that situation, not the whole nail, but you're in that situation with the head of the nail now being exposed to rust. So, you know, I guess you just have to pay attention to how you install those fasteners. But in your case, if they're all just, I'm pretty sure I can picture this in my mind, that they're all just regular 16 penny nails or whatever they are, just, you know, like you'd put inside a house, their interior nails, that was a bad move. And I think Larry's right that, you know, they probably had a box of them sitting around. So they're like, why should I go buy the right ones? Or maybe they didn't even know. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? We weren't there. We don't know. But if you're looking at a project on your own, get the right fasteners, read the directions,
research it, just read it. You're right.
It says on the box, yep, you know, like pressure treats. It's every single box. If you walk, just go to Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever, it doesn't matter. Go down the fastener line and see. And if it doesn't say for pressure treated wood, next.
Yeah, you know, or exterior.
Like, it's not
use
for pressure treated or exterior.
Yeah,
yes,
exterior.
Exterior.
They got a picture of a fence and a deck, you know, and I mean,
exactly.
So you just have to be really careful. There's different things. You can go back and listen to our fastener show. Been done a while ago, but that's my thoughts, Larry.
That's your thoughts?
That's
Are you sure?
Yeah. I got my 2 minutes in. I told you everything I know.
Well, Johnny, if the spaceship has landed, do we look at it or do we take it apart? This is the age-old question.
Is it rusted?
Handyman Pros Radio Show. If it's rusted, I'm not doing anything with it.
Yeah, you got to use titanium bolts.
Johnny, remember where we grew up, and remember the times when we grew up when they used to put salt on the roads? And did you do your own mechanics when you lived in Chicago on your vehicles or not?
Oh,
my God.
You know, before
outside of Rochester. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Before they did, they dipped cars, right?
Yeah. Before they dipped cars. Right.
So every car rusted out. The quarter panels, the door panels. I remember we had, I'm a little older than you, Larry, but we had a 56 Chevy, and every one of those rusted out around the headlights. The salt would get thrown up into the wheel wells before they, you know, covered the wheel wells with plastic, enough, you know, before all this stuff.
Yep.
And it just,
before all that. Yep.
So today it's tough to find a car that's rusting. You know, unless it's unless it's been in an accident and the paint's exposed and, you know, that kind of thing, or the metal's exposed and the paint's chipped off. But, you know, now it's tough. Back then, poo boy.
I always tell this story. I used to do when I was a kid, I did all my own mechanicking and things like that. When I moved to Atlanta, I was like, yeah, I had already stopped. I was just hiring people because you always needed the hot wrench just to do things like get your shocks off, right? Which is a simple bolt. You either needed a breaker bar or a torch to get the bolts off because they were rust welded together, right? And you know what I'm talking about. Or you'd hit the underside of the car and it was like, if you didn't have full covered
safety
all the
rust
glasses
and everything, you know, crap.
And you had to keep your mouth closed,
yeah,
right? You might as well have worn a mask because there was so much crud coming down, you know, off the car. Well, anyway, I moved to Atlanta. I'll never forget it. I bought a new car when I moved into it, or it was shortly after I moved to Atlanta, bought a new car. And I needed shocks, and I was like, I'm not due shocks. And I was just like, I don't know. So I crawled up under the car, and I looked up under there, and I'm like, there's no rust. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, so I took my 3/8 inch socket, 3/8 inch, like where this was something you never, it was a half inch or more in Rochester,
in
right?
A breaker bar.
I took my 3/8
in a, yeah,
a breaker
bar.
Cheater bar on the breaker bar.
Yeah.
Right. So I take my, you know, cheater bar, meaning about a 6 foot long pry bar, you know, or piece of pipe that you stuck on the pipe, you know. Anyway, so I stick my 3/8 inch wrench on there. And yeah, I had to put a little force on it, but it popped. And I was like, oh my God. And it, so I do my simple mechanics now
We always used to,
you get things off. Oh my
we
God.
We always
crazy.
Used to dream of owning a car that came from, you know, Arizona or Florida. California. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Yep. You know, but you're right. Crawling under those cars and all that crap falling down, you know, you got to keep, keep your mouth. It's like the, what's the thing underneath the, you know, a lot of, you walk into somebody's office and they got a fish on the wall. What's the thing underneath the fish? It says, if I would have kept my mouth shut, I'd still be swimming.
That's right.
So anyways.
All right, folks. With all of that, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, send us an email, questions@handymanprosradioshow.com. Come to our Facebook group at Handyman Pros. Post your stuff up out there. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, all that good kind of groovy stuff. And with that, we will see you next week on the Handyman Pros Radio Show.